everyone. Thank you so much for joining Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is about people whose society places limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. In Hamlet, Ophelia says, "We know who we are, but not who we will be." And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then it reforms into the butterfly. That can't be easy, but it's not finished struggling yet. It then has to struggle in order to get out of the cocoon for its wings to be strong enough to fly once it's out. Again, can't imagine that that's easy, but without all of those struggles, the beautiful butterfly doesn't become the beautiful version that it is. If we try to give it too much assistance during any part of that process, we'll ruin it. And that is not an easy thing to do, is to sit and let somebody struggle, but sometimes we have to for them to become the best version of themselves. So today, I have Krista, and I'm not going to try to say her last name. we talked about this before we came on, and I don't want to mess it up. So, okay, it appears as though we are not streaming live on Facebook for some reason, but we are streaming live on YouTube. So I apologize to anyone who normally watches this on Facebook. I don't know why it's doing that. I'll try to fix it while we're talking and see if I can make something happen. But I don't know if it's going to work. So, Krista, thank you for joining me while I'm kind of messing around with some of this computer stuff. If you would like to introduce yourself, that would be wonderful.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for having me. My name is Krista Agagno, and I am currently a family blogger. And I am raising a daughter that has a terminal diagnosis of super rare genetic condition. She is one of less than 100 kids in the world. And so her condition is very progressive. And so as she ages, things just get a little harder. So currently she is a full-time wheelchair user. And raising Jordan has really changed and shaped the trajectory of what we thought was going to be our lives for everybody in our family, but in a really, really great way. And I actually can't wait to share with you all the amazing things that she does. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so tell me about some of these awesome things that she has done so far. So talk a little bit more too about this diagnosis that she has, and kind of what's known about it and what maybe you wish would be known about it.
Yeah. So she's got a condition called giant axonal neuropathy. So we call it GAN for short, G-A-N. And the simplest way to explain it is that in our nervous system, we have a system that gets rid of like the aggregates and so the junk that we don't need anymore, that's already been used, all those messages, all the cells. And so it kind of sweeps it out. The garbage truck takes it out of your system and it's clean and great. What happens to her is that her nerves actually, like if you biopsy them, they're quite large and they just keep getting larger because all that stuff stays. She doesn't have the system to get rid of it. So it really cuts. So as she gets older and as, time progresses, it cuts off the messaging that travels through the nervous system, and which is everything. Everything travels through our nervous system. So, So as she ages, it just progresses and affects more and more systems in her body. So for example, she has about 40% lung function. She's 13 now. She has about 40% lung function. It is starting to affect some of the messaging in her brain. She can't walk any longer. Like she doesn't have any feeling really from like the waist down. It's starting to affect her like fine motor. So as we go, it takes more and more of the things that, we really probably take for granted as able-bodied people.
Right. Mm-hmm. So probably a very hard question for you to answer, but what is the life expectancy?
The life expectancy is usually young adulthood. So the reason that there's usually such a small number of people who have GAN is that between kind of like late teenager? Are you still a teenager at like 18, 19? I guess so.
Yeah.
It ends with teen. 18,
yeah. Yeah. They're both teen, but yeah, they both end in teen. So that's still teen to my thinking.
Yeah. So what we see is that like the lungs become not as strong at like 18, 19, 20. And so usually, you know, they'll catch something like a pneumonia or something that they just won't be able to recover from. But that's not for everybody. Like there are some people who have a lesser, you know, lesser severity of GAN. And so it's a little bit different for everybody, but the standard is usually like that young adulthood, right in the 19, 20, 21 age.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for answering. I'm sure that is not something you want to think about. So, what kinds of like, because you said there's only 100 people. So what kind of research is being done regarding this? And are there therapies that have been proven to help so far?
Yeah, well, that was one of the things that I really like clung on to when she was diagnosed, that out of all the things she could have been diagnosed with, she was diagnosed with something that had a ton of research happening, which is super rare for a condition that, you know, only affects 75 people, for there to be like so much happening. And of course it comes down to a mom who's trying to save her kid, right? Is how it all started. And so there is a foundation called Hannah's Hope Fund. And so when we were first diagnosed when we were diagnosed about 7 years ago, they were doing gene therapy. So Jordan was number 7 injected with gene therapy. And so she did have that. Yeah. So she did have that done. And they grassroots funded every single dollar to make that happen, to, you know, to find a cure for these kids. And so, and it still continues. Like that wasn't, you know, the be all end all. So there's still a lot happening. So, yeah.
That is pretty incredible to, you know, because as I said, I thought, oh gosh, 100 people or 75, apparently when she was born or when Hannah was born, that, you know, there's not going to be much interest in it. So yeah, I've found in looking at laws and looking at technology advances and medical advances that oftentimes it's because somebody with that need started the whatever, the law, the bill, the research, whatever it was. So that's amazing. So for anyone who is watching on YouTube, Fran just did that for us and she gave us a howdy from Southern Illinois. If you're watching, please give us a hello and a hashtag from where you're watching from. If you're watching in the replay, do the same thing, except say hashtag replay. So tell us and I apologize because my brain is a little scattered because I was trying to get it to run on Facebook. So, was she diagnosed at birth, or was this something that you got a diagnosis after she was born, and how old was she if that was the case?
Yeah, it was after birth. So she was diagnosed, I think she was, so we started looking for a diagnosis at 3.5. We knew something was different. She was like, she hit most of the major milestones, but sometimes just a little bit slow or like a little bit different than the other kids. And at 3.5, she was clumsy. So when we put her into pre-K, like pre-kindergarten, there's an assessment here. And so they said, oh, you should consult a neurologist. And so that's what started us down the path of trying to find a diagnosis. And then right before she had the gene therapy is when she was actually diagnosed. So she was 6 when we got an official diagnosis. So And like I said, that, you know, this is progressive. So the kids develop and they have all, you know, they walk and they do all the things, like I said, maybe just a little bit slower, a little clumsier. And then as the condition progresses, then they lose those functions. So at birth, it wasn't really evident that there was anything except for her hair. So all kids with giant axonal neuropathy have this really kinky, curly hair, which if our photo is still up there like it was earlier, you can see her amazing hair, and all GAN kids have some version of that hair. So she was born with this hair that everybody would be like, where did that come from?
So yeah, I have, I can share your website. So yeah, there's the hair and her beautiful smile and face that you were talking about. Yeah. And I think I saw a, I don't know if it was a reel or if it's something on your website. I remember seeing like when she was getting her hair done one day, and just all of the process that was involved with that to just, and she had like really big poofy pigtails on either side when it was all finished. So it looked really cute, but I was like, wow, that's a lot of hair.
Yeah, that's actually what has made, that is what I guess sent us into this world of family vlogging is Jordan's hair, because every time I share anything about Jordan, her hair just goes viral and everybody loves it.
Well, that's good. I mean, whatever it takes to, you know, get people's attention, right? So if that's what they're drawing their attention to, that's, they're still paying attention and you're still getting the word out about what she has and, you know, her life and all the wonderful things. So as she was developing and you thought everything was fine, and then it started to go the other way. What were some of the first things that you saw? I mean, you talked about that she was clumsy. So was she not clumsy before and then she became clumsy, or had she just always been clumsy for the however long she had been walking to that point?
I think that she had always been clumsy and always like just a little bit more cautious and a little bit slower. When she was really young and we didn't know what was going on, I used to say that Jordan was sent to teach me some patience and to slow down. Yeah. Cause you know, like I couldn't get her to run for like the life of her. Like I like couldn't be like, come on, let's hurry, let's run. And she'd be like, no.
And, don't need to.
When she was really little, like 1, 2, and we would camp and all of our friends outside of the camper would be like, what the heck's going on in there? Cause she would like stomp up and down the hallway and you could hear it. So I suppose the signs were always there, but you know, I don't know. I just assumed that she was clumsy and she was hitting the milestones. And so there just wasn't really anything, no huge red flags in those first couple of years.
Right. And I mean, you as the mom, if you're not aware of it and, you know, and the fact that there was however many, 100 or however many there were at the time of her diagnosis, you know, it's not something that even pediatricians or doctors are going to say, oh, hey, you know, because if everybody develops differently at different time frames. So if she was hitting those milestones, that's what they look for.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes I get flack about this on social media, like when I share a story, you know, that, you know, as parents, like any little thing, you should be taking your child to the pediatrician because, you know, those milestones are so important. But I think we also have to give ourselves grace as parents. Like it really wouldn't have changed anything for me to know earlier. It just probably actually would have made our lives harder for those first 4 years. In, you know, a lot more testing, a lot more. So she just got to enjoy those first 4 years and it was fine.
Well, and absolutely. And just what I said, I mean, if she was reaching those milestones, those are the average. So there's always going to be kids who reach them sooner and who reach them later than that marker that they put as the time to reach that marker. So people on social media aren't always compassionate and thinking about what they're saying. And but that's neither here nor there, I suppose. But absolutely, I'm glad that you know to give yourself grace and you do give yourself the grace, because we can only do with what we know. And then when we learn more, we do more. And when we learn different, we do different. And then we have to keep moving forward. What else, how many other people are in your family and how has this affected them?
Yeah. So we're a family of 5. I have an older son who's 17 and then a younger one who's 10. And then my husband, obviously their dad. You know what? It has completely actually changed our lives. Of course, it has uprooted us. You know, we live differently now than we did previously, you know, having someone in a wheelchair in our lives. Probably the hardest hit with that is probably my older one, my 17-year-old, because he knew what life was like before. He knew what we did before having somebody in a wheelchair. And so as much as I try to like create balance and adventure and all these fun things for the family, it's just still different, right? But
right,
they will grow up to be amazing human beings because they know the struggle that we go through and they can take that out into the world. And so, yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And I would think, I mean, to me, that seems very logical that the younger one didn't know any different. So this is his life or her life. I'm sorry, I forgot what you said, son, I think, is, you know, that's the way it's always been. And so, yeah, the older son had what, 3 or 4 years before she came along, and then another 3 or 4 years before, really, so maybe 6-ish years, 6 to 8 years of kind of a completely different way of life. And does he ever talk about that with you?
Yeah, there used to be the odd time where, you know, he would say, oh, you know, that he missed like camping or quadding or like those really like, or hiking, like, we were just on a holiday and he said, oh, you remember when we used to like all go hiking? And, you know, when she was small enough that like we could strap her to my husband. So yes, but he also, you know, like if I found that the things that I can't necessarily make happen with him, it's okay to like allow him to do that with other families. Like, I don't know why it was such a hard thing to like let that go, to let him go make those memories with other people. But like, he's got a lot of friends and they still do all of those things. And so it's okay for him to go for a weekend and do that with another family. And so I've just, like I said, really tried to have that balance and to allow him to still go make those memories. Just looks different. But
I'd like to talk about that a little bit more, if you wouldn't mind. Because that's not something that I've ever really thought about before, you know, the fact that sometimes a sibling to someone who has special needs might need or want to go do things and the family can't do them. And so what do you think it was that made it so difficult for you to let him do those kinds of things with other families?
Well, I think that part of it is that, you know, you don't want to be a burden. You don't want to be too big of a burden on the people around you. And so like, I don't want to keep like pawning off my kids all the time.
Sure.
And then the second piece of that is that I really like it fills my cup to make memories with my kids. Like they're like my favorite people and I love to like adventure with them and go and do all the things. And so part of it also is like this feeling that like I'm missing out on making those memories with him. And so that's hard and sad. Right. And so, yeah, I don't know. We, like I said, we try our hardest to build in and factor in adventure and memories and fun here within our family. And sometimes it looks like taking Jordan with us. And sometimes it's, you know, having somebody stay with her so we can still do some of those things. And so I just think it's a balancing act. And I think that in this life that we lead, where we have somebody in a wheelchair, we do need a lot of help from our community and the people around us. Like it just is inevitable. And so there's just that fine balance of like, just not being too much of a burden on everybody around you.
Right. And I thank you for sharing. I mean, because honestly, I really hadn't thought about that aspect before. And since I don't have that type of life, I don't know how I would think about it or how I would feel about it. So I appreciate you sharing that because there might be other parents out there who maybe hadn't thought of that as an option for a sibling. Or maybe there's some friends of people who know someone who has a sibling with special needs and they've never thought to invite the one who doesn't have the special need to come with them to do something. So maybe this will help other families, you know, connect with one another and make that sort of thing happen. Because I do often wonder about siblings in families where there is someone with a disability and, you know, how they feel about life. And, you know, if they, I think they probably wish it was different to a degree, so that their life would be quote unquote better. But at the same time, I mean, I think our lives are the way they're supposed to be. No matter what our circumstances, you know, if we are perfectly abled or if we're abled in different ways. And so I don't know that's why I put better in quotation marks, because I don't really know that it would be better if that person wasn't disabled, because that's what makes that special, that person special, and makes them part of who they are. Just like everyone has all their different components.
I was just going to say the flip side to that, the awesome side to that is that we also get those kids coming over here. So, and then they get to experience and what it's like, you know, to have to like pitch in that extra little bit, even though they're, you know, a guest here and here to have fun. They see what it's like. And I think they leave with a little bit more like compassion and empathy, I think, I hope, just, you know, being here with us and seeing what it takes. But just to add a little bit of humor to what you were saying, my 10-year-old, who has never known any different except for Jordan, he really, really loves all the perks that comes with Jordan. He is very vocal about sharing with everyone that it's really great to keep her around because of all the amazing stuff that she gets us into. And so, you know, like there's like special events, throughout the year for, put on for, you know, like hospital families that are experiences that, you know, other families don't get to take part in. And they're really awesome, actually. And he just like, he soaks up every minute of those things.
Yeah. So I'm guessing, cause I know I have seen some events in my area where like, professional sports players will do something, or you'll, you know, get to see some, you'll get to meet some sort of a celebrity, or you'll get, you know, you get to go past all the lines at the amusement park and, you know, jump ahead of everybody. Are those the kinds of things that he's kind of talking about?
Yeah, for sure. Like, Jordan has had a wish trip. So, I think you guys have to make a wish, right? Same as we do. So mm-hmm. she has had a wish trip. So that was like, oh my gosh, some of the best memories of our life. And then when we go anywhere, we don't stand in line. So like, you know, like, it was Jordan's dream to see the Eiffel Tower. And so we just made that happen in 2023. We took her to Europe. And so things like, the Louvre, where there's like lineups, like blocks down the road, and nope, right, just straight to the front. Or like, even seeing the Mona Lisa, like there's a separate viewing area for somebody in a wheelchair where all these other people like stand in line. So
really? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep. And then our local, there's a lot of perks like that, that you just don't even realize. So he is all about the perks when it comes to Jordan.
Well, I mean, yeah, if she's willing to share them with him, then I, you know, good for him for taking it or taking her up on it and sharing all those kinds of things. That's funny that, you know, and that is, I mean, that's the positive way to look at things, you know? So good for him for being that way.
Well, that's just family and siblings, isn't it? Really? Like that just is the way that they joke with each other and how he jokes about keeping her around. That is just, when I see it, it is the epitome of like what siblings should be like. And I'm glad that they interact like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause you want that, again, I'm going to use quotation marks, normal life as much as possible, whatever that normal means. And so I'm glad to hear that, you know, that is, because I think sometimes when I've watched from the outside or I've spoken to a parent and they've told me some of the things that are happening, it's easy for me, or easier at least for me, to say, well, that's kind of normal. You know, I mean, if, you know, that's how siblings react, or, you know, that would be typical development for, you know, this. I think it seems at least that everything from their perspective, and I'm guessing your perspective, is always looked at through the lens of the GAN. And, you know, sometimes you forget to go, oh, right, no, that's normal. That's exactly what siblings are, you know, that's exactly what a teenager should be saying or acting like, or, you know, hopefully not, but when it comes to the teenager stuff, at least, but she's just hitting that stage, right? You said she's 13.
Yep, she is.
Yeah. So you've got a roller coaster ride ahead of you for sure in the teenage years, teenage girl, for sure. So what sort of things you alluded to at the beginning of all the wonderful things that she is doing now? So talk more about that.
Yeah. So one of the biggest things I guess for Jordan is that I don't think that she thinks that there is any limits on what she can do, which is really awesome. And I'm really grateful for that. Yeah. And so late in 2022, she signed with a talent agency that only reps kids and adults with some kind of like disability. And so it's called Kello Inclusive Agency. And so she's just loving it. She is in heaven. Good. She did a Walgreens commercial last year. She's done a couple print ads, and I'm sure there's something else. Oh, in Toronto Kids Fashion Week here in Edmonton, she rolled the runway. So yeah, she is just like loving that. And then, you know, like on TikTok, where, like I said, her hair is keeping her viral. She really like it gives her something to focus and concentrate on, which I love, because with the decline of her fine motor skills, it's hard for her to have like traditional hobbies. And so sure. I know everybody won't agree with me, but like, for example, yesterday we were at, you know, a 6-hour appointment where she gets an infusion. And so, you know, we were like scrolling TikTok and finding like trends to do so we could do like videos while we were sitting there. And it has become like a little bit of a hobby and something for her to focus on. And so I love that for her.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm going to pull up, I'm going to share a different screen because I think I have the, whoops, well, it's running. I don't want it to run. How do I stop it? Okay. I know how to do like Instagram on my phone, but when I'm doing Instagram on my computer, then of course it looks a little bit different. So this is the one where I was saying that I had watched where, she's going about getting her hair done, I think.
This is when we went to the salon. This is our day in the life of going to get our hair done.
Ah, okay. Because at first I was like, wait, she's putting yogurt together. That's not going to go in her hair.
I think her hair washed in a basin like that. So we're super excited and having a fun day. Look at that hair. At some point, we decided that we should just go big today. Big hair for the win. And oh my God, it came out so cute. Anyways, mom's turn in the chair. Can't wait. So exciting. Love getting pampered. Look at that hair. I love it. And then we had to come home and do chores because that's real life. And poor Jordy was so tired. She fell asleep waiting for dinner. But we did manage to get in a movie.
That hair.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. Now I don't have to deal with it. As you see, mine is very straight and fine. So, you know, I get frustrated just dealing with this, but I just thought that was such a cute hairstyle that she had in that video. And there was another one that I thought where she had two big poofy, I mean, they're kind of like that in the video that we just watched, but so for anybody who I was on her, for anybody who's just listening to this in podcast version, I was just on her Instagram page and their Instagram handle. Let me pull that up. I'm going to put that up on the screen for anybody who's watching. You can see it. But for those who are just listening, the Instagram and TikTok handles are at going with the, I don't want to say it, I'm going to mess it up.
Gagnos.
And so that is spelled going with the, and then Gagnos is Gagnons. So you can find them on TikTok. You can find them on Instagram. And also you have your website, which I did share a few minutes ago. And I don't think, it's not going to go because I didn't set it up to share that correctly. And that is just going with the Gagnos on .com. So be sure to find them and follow them in any of those places. So sorry, I kind of interrupted your story of just kind of a life, a day in the life of, and some of the different things that she's doing. So she's doing the modeling and the advertising. So these infusions that she has to get, can we talk about that? Or was there more, cause I don't want to stop you from completely telling about all the stuff that she's doing.
Oh yeah. I should probably, so the website, is actually a line of sweaters that Jordan asked me to help her create, when COVID hit. And so, on the website you can find, like affirmational merch, I guess we like the kids say merch. Anyways, like sweaters and t-shirts and stickers. And so, the thought behind it was that, Jordan goes to all of these appointments and everybody always loves on her and is always like, oh, Jordan, you're so strong. And everybody just really builds her up. And so, she wanted to create these shirts that people could pick, an I am statement that they thought, you know, applied to them or that they wanted to be, and then, you know, wear it with pride. And so, you know, you can get like, I am confident, I am loved, I am enough, I am amazing, I am brave, I am wild, I am all of them. So that's what the website is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And yeah, here we have categories. So all the different ways that you can order the affirmations. And then the next tab over is shop by affirmation. And you've got send Jordan email. So
yes, send Jordan mail. Yeah. So that started, when we were planning on taking her to Europe. So Jordan, so another thing that came from Jordan's journey is a dream it, do it list. And so it's her version of a bucket list that she created. Okay. And, Paris was Paris was what set this off, like what started all of this, because for like the last 6 years, it has been all she talks about. We go to appointments and we watch YouTube videos about Paris and the Eiffel Tower and what's to see and what's to do and what's to eat. And so, so she created from that, she created this whole dream it, do it list of all these things that she wants to accomplish and do in life. And so, a lot of our focus now on social media is doing some of those things. And so there's like YouTubers she wants to meet, and she still wants to visit New York, and she wants to be an extra in a movie. And there's like all these things that she's working on accomplishing. I think I went on a tangent there. I know that I was trying to say something, but
you were just talking about all the things that she's doing. So that's part of it. And then I jumped you talked about that, you know, you were helping her develop things for the website, and that the website is, you know, your shop basically. So you've got the I Am journal.
Yes. That's what, from the mail, you said, send Jordan mail. That's where that started, is when we were planning to go to Europe. What happened was, people got wind of it on TikTok. And so they started sending her postcards from Paris, because it was COVID and it was lockdown, and it took us like an extra 3 years longer than what we thought it would take us to get there. And so that's where that started. And yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love, because I'm very much about, there's her dream it, do it list. I don't know if I'll be able to.
Yeah. So we put that in the journal, so that, the I Am journal, so that, everybody can make their own dream it, do it list.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And there's a nice little picture of her. I'm sure she's not always happy, but I do like her smile. It's
you would be surprised. I don't know where she pulls it out of, but she is a light. There's a lot to learn from Jordan.
Yeah. So talk about that. Tell me about the kinds of things that people have learned from her. And the reason I want you to do that is, I'm going to talk about a little bit about, I wrote a book several years ago, and it's called Those Who Can't Teach. And at the end of each chapter, I talk about what I learned from each of the families that are represented in the book. And each of the families is somebody in their family has a disability, or the person themselves shared their story with me. And I'm always learning from families that I interact with. And so talk about some of the things, some of the ways that Jordan has taught others about life in general, probably.
Mm-hmm. So I can speak to myself. Like, I know that Jordan has taught me what it looks like to be in the moment and to like just be focused on like the here and now and what is happening now. She's very good at that. And when she is when she teaches us that and when she shows me that, it comes out in this like joy and just this like very authentic, honest, like it's more than joy. I don't know what the next word above joy is, but this, okay, whatever the next word above joy is, to just be with the people that she's with and to just be like, it doesn't matter if we're in Paris or if we are here visiting with friends, you know, with some friends that came over, she has the same level of like enthusiasm and excitement for that moment. And so that's what she's taught me. I know that she's taught, I know that everybody who's around her has so much amazing things to say about her, but it's just different for each. It's so different for each person. But often, so often I get these messages that like, you know, we watch you on TikTok and, you know, she just like lights up my life when she comes on the screen and she like makes me smile, or, you know, like teachers will be like, it was, you know, life-changing to have her in my class this year. Like, but those are unique to the circumstances she would have, you know, with those specific people. And so, yeah, she just, like I said, she's just such a light. I don't know how she does it. She gets, somebody pokes her for a needle for blood work and she just has them laughing by the end of it. And they're like, what the heck? Like I'm supposed to be making you happy.
So she very much sounds like that she lives in the moment and she enjoys every single moment to the fullest.
Yep. Yep. She enjoys
it all. That's awesome. That's fantastic. And I mean, she, because she started losing some of her abilities around 3.5 or 4, I mean, she doesn't necessarily remember life a whole lot different than what she's had it. So, I mean, her every day is normal for her. And so she is able to just, you know, just enjoy it. Well, and
I think there has to be a part of her that remembers what it's like, because she was independently walking like 4 years ago. So there is a part of her.
Okay.
That, yeah. So she progressed from like clumsy, still walking walker, like walking with a walker, half not, and then to a, sometimes in a manual chair, and now she's in a full power chair. So she has to have those memories and remember a little bit what it's like. I think though that nature, God, I think it's a gift that that the nerves in her whole body are going, and so they also impact a little bit of what's happening like in her brain. And so I think it softens it a little bit too, which I think is a gift, because it would be very hard. But often GAN is compared to an ALS, like to ALS, but for kids. And so I see how hard it is for those adults who remember everything. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, for it to just, the memories to be a little softer for Jordan is not a bad thing.
Yeah. And so how does it weigh on you as mom, and how does it weigh on dad or the siblings to see? I mean, it sounds like she's at least outwardly okay, not happy, mm-hmm. I'm sure, but okay with the way things are going. But how does it affect the rest of you?
That has been a journey. And so I can't necessarily speak to my husband or my kids, because that's their own journey. But in for myself, I know that the first couple years were a lot, and there was like a lot of denial. There was little bits of anger. There was like a lot of emotions happening. I try to talk about this a lot, that it wasn't until there was this point during COVID where, you know, everybody went online, because like, what else are you going to do? And so it's right. Almost like people opened up and shared like really authentically more stuff. Or it felt like that to me. Maybe I just wasn't in that space before. And, you know, I started doing a deep dive into like grief and anticipatory grief and the emotions that are attached to raising somebody that is sort of, you know, disappearing in front of your eyes. And so knowledge is kind of power. And when you can really learn what's happening, I feel like it helps you digest digest it. You can never digest it better. That's the wrong right. words. But I mean, like, for example, like,
you can handle smaller chunks of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that I know, like, okay, before I knew the words anticipatory grief, I thought that I was failing at life. I thought I was a terrible mom. I thought I was lazy. I couldn't understand why I could get out of bed some days. And like all of those pieces just made me kind of feel like I was failing, right? And then when you understand that it's actually grief and you're grieving the loss of that person while they're still here and in front of you, then it changes it, because I can't handle grief, but I know what to do to ease that, right? Like I know to let it have its space and to like stop when that happens. Like when those feelings come up now, I know how to stop and like work through them instead of just feeling like I'm failing. And so I think it's really important to talk about that stuff, because I think so many families and parents think that they're just, yeah, that they're just not handling things properly, but there's so many emotions. There's so much going on. It's really heavy. It's really heavy. And I know from experience, I just tried to like shove all those feelings down and power through and give my kids the best life and try to, you know, keep things as normal as I could. And that really was not serving me. I had to stop and slow down and like give the feelings space, like give those really hard emotions space.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that, you know, it was very personal, and I very much appreciate your honesty. And I hope, just like earlier, that you know, someone will hear what you've said and go, "Oh, I'm not," and you know, kind of have those aha moments like you talked about. I had never heard the words anticipatory grief until you just said them. As soon as you said them, I'm like, oh, I bet I know what that means, just because of the other knowledge that I have. And it made so much sense when you said it. And I do think that a lot of parents go through that, even if it's not because, well, and it's not just parents, as you said, it's kind of like the ALS for children. So, you know, a lot of people go through that. But I think it maybe holds a different level or a different magnitude when it's a child that you're watching, because they have, you know, what you thought was going to be decades ahead of them. And I remember when I was writing the book, one of the moms in there, she talked about that we have beliefs and desires for our children that we don't necessarily know that we have. And expectations is the word that we used, until we find out that those expectations aren't going to be met. And then we grieve for those kinds of expectations, that they're not going to happen or not happening in the way that we thought they would happen or in the timeline that we thought they would happen. And I that sounds to me like anticipatory grief. I appreciate you sharing that. And I really do hope that that reaches somebody. And as you said, I'm proud of you for allowing yourself to feel those things when they come, and to acknowledge it in front of your family. Because I think a lot of times too, we hold stuff in because we think, oh, we have to be strong, and you know, we can't let anybody else see that this is bothering us. But I think what that actually does is make it worse for others, because they're having similar feelings, but they don't want to express them because they don't think they can, because nobody else is feeling that way. So then they feel bad because they're feeling that way. And then it's just like this compounding thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It can become a really vicious cycle. And there's a lot of pressure when it comes to raising somebody that has a limited life expectancy, because I hear this all the time, like, oh, you just can't waste time, or, you know, like, that's a big one. You're just wasting time, you know, worrying about that or being sad. But like the reality is that life happens like in the little moments. And so, and if we were traditional and we weren't raising, you know, Jordan, and we thought she was going to live forever, we would still have those downtimes. Like there would still be like the times where like something unexpected happens and everybody's a little sad for a couple of days. Like it's so unrealistic to think that just because you're raising this kid, everything, you know, you're going to make everything perfect in the little bit of time you have. That's not like real life. Like real life is, right, you know, the ups and downs. And so we should be allowed to, you know, to have those freely as well. Right. Like some days we just don't want to do anything and we watch movies on the couch and that's okay. We're not wasting time. Like that's not, this is life. That's life. Yeah.
Well, and I think honestly, there, we have this hurry up society that we live in, and I'm not sure when it developed or why it developed, but I mean, we don't honor just resting and and just being for the moment or the day. And I think that might be why when she does it, it's so odd and beautiful, because we should all enjoy the moment and be present in every moment. Majority of us aren't, because we're always thinking, okay, well, I've got this to do next and I've got that to do and I've got this coming up and I've got, you know, this happened back there. And, you know, and so we're not always in the moment present. And I think it is a gift when we find someone who is able to truly do that. And it sounds a lot like Jordan is able to do that more than the typical person. So I think that that's a gift, again, as you mentioned, for her. So the infusion therapy, we hinted at that, and I want to circle back to that. So how often does that have to happen for her, and what is the point of the infusion therapy?
Yeah, we're just actually, this is not our normal. We're in a little bit of emergency situation. I don't know how to explain it. We're in a high stress since the beginning of December. There's something going on in Jordan's body that we just can't quite put our finger on. They think that she has some kind of infection that is brewing below the surface. So on a daily basis, Jordan is very healthy, and we deal actually with very little doctor's appointments. And you know, like as she progresses, big things happen. Like she goes into a wheelchair, but like on, you know, for everything else, she's quite healthy. So this is not our norm. This is very unusual for us. And so it is making life a little bit challenging the last 2 months, a little bit more stressful. But right now, yes, she is receiving extra iron. And then she had a surgery on her back right before Christmas on the 23rd. And so it's just not healing properly. And so we're just watching all of that. And she's got a very low temperature and a low blood pressure. And so it just makes for life to be a little bit more challenging right now.
Right. And those are things I don't think, you know, I mean, I went, oh, it wouldn't matter what kind of surgery or who it was, but to have it just a couple of days before Christmas is disappointing for anybody. You know, so I hope that my reaction wasn't like, oh gosh, you know, I mean, I was, yes, sad for her, but I would be sad for anybody having surgery a couple of days before Christmas. So are there things with this GAN that the other 99 people have, you know, as it's progressed, like, oh, you need to be watching out for this or that, or, and I don't know, maybe the back surgery was one of those things. That's just what triggered it in my mind to ask the question.
Yeah. So I think that everybody's care is a little bit different. And remember that most, like we all end up with doctors that have not ever treated anybody with GAN before. And so we're very fortunate to be seen at the National Institute of Health, like in Bethesda. We go there quite frequently, and that's an amazing resource because they see all the kids with GAN. And so they're very helpful in what we should be watching for and how, you know, like what we can be doing. But because everybody ends up with their own doctors and their own neurologists that have never seen GAN before, everybody's way of handling it and what they do for their kids is a little bit different. As she progresses, though, there will be things that come, like we're very close to her not being able to read anymore. Like her eyes are really it's not even like giving her glasses really helps. It's the nerves are dying like behind her eyes. And so, you know, we're very close to her just not being able to read anymore. It'll be harder for her to swallow as she gets older, you know, like things like that. I don't know. I don't know that there's specifics. We like to just deal with the stuff as it comes up and not try to pre-think too much about.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And I appreciate that. Just something that kind of came across to my mind.
But for example, like we knew that the eyesight would be a problem in the future. And we know that all these things are coming for us. And so there's certain decisions that we've made, like in the education realm, like she goes to school to like be with the people and to be with her friends and to hang out. But there's very little like focus on her actually getting an education and because there's really no point in forcing her to like learn how to read when, you know, she just physically can't. Right. And so there's some decisions that we make like that in life to make things easier and funner for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very rational and very reasonable for sure. We have just about 5 to 8 minutes left. So I just want to make sure that, you know, when you agreed to come on today, if you had any ideas of what you wanted to share or say, or any points you wanted to get across, that you absolutely, if you haven't already done that, we can guide the conversation into that direction right now.
Oh, awesome. I feel like I shared so much more than I ever anticipated, Jerry. No, I'm just
I have a way of getting people to do that.
What I hope people get from us is I do hope that parents that might feel like they're struggling maybe can hear our story and, you know, hear things like the grief piece or, you know, maybe just feel like they're not alone, I hope, in hearing us. And then the other piece that I hope that people can take away from our story is that we've been given this diagnosis, which gives us like a false sense of thinking that we know what's to come, right? Like when the doctors gave us this diagnosis that, you know, Jordan would have a limited life expectancy, we live in that. And so we do things just a little bit differently. Like, we might not abide by all of society's, you know, rules and norms. We kind of, you know, really think about each thing that we allow into our lives and whether it serves us or doesn't serve us. But just because we've been given that diagnosis doesn't mean that that's actually what is to come for us. And nobody is really guaranteed tomorrow. And so I wish that everybody could just watch us and learn that, like, you have the ability to decide, you know, what you want to do and what you want to allow into your life and what feels good and what works for you, instead of kind of being like a passenger in life, if that makes sense. Like, like all of these things we've chosen to do, like they haven't necessarily just happened to us. And so, yeah, that was long winded, but pretty much just to say none of us are necessarily guaranteed tomorrow. We actually have no idea what's coming tomorrow, even us who thinks we know. We should just really take a page out of Jordan's book and like enjoy what's happening today and like live for what's happening today, because that's really all we for sure have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's so incredibly true. And I think that's a great way to wrap this up for today. So I just want to remind everybody to go to your website, Going with the Gagnon. Did I get kind of close to saying it right?
Yeah, just make sure you put the S at the end, Gagnon. There's a couple of us.
Okay. and Fran does say thank you for being real and sharing your journey. And I appreciate you as well. And I will be finding an affirmation hoodie, most likely, to order, because I love my hoodies. And I'm in Southern Illinois, so I have about 6 months of the year that I can kind of get by with wearing hoodies. So I will most likely be getting one of those from you soon. And I encourage anyone else who's watching to support Krista and Jordan and their family in that endeavor. And as I said, follow them. Let me put up the information really quick for those who are watching. Here it is, Going with the Gagnon. No, I did it wrong. Gagnon. Nope. I totally got it messed up now. But yeah, you can find them. That's their website, or they're on IG, Instagram, and TikTok. So Krista, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your journey. And I'm a little sad that I didn't get to see Jordan in person, but I understand, that she has other things going on during the school day. And so the time that we do this just wasn't the right time for me to meet her. But I look forward to continuing to follow you and watch your journey. And for everyone else, I hope to see you next week. Thanks so much.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.